Good morning. Praise the Lord. Oh, come on, y'all. Let's give God some praise. Come on. Praise the Lord. Yes. God has been good to us. God has been great to us. God has been abundantly clear with us. Amen. Amen. And he deserves the glory and honor from us. Yes. Yes. No rock has to cry out for us because we will praise the Lord our God. Amen. 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 Good morning and welcome to Teller Tabernacle Live. Welcome to the Teller family and all of our friends joining through Facebook and YouTube Live. We are streaming from Philadelphia, PA, where Elder Jonathan E. Ford is the pastor. Can we give our pastor a round of applause? Amen. 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 I'm going to be reading today Psalms 24, verses 8 through 10. Amen. Amen. Again, that is Psalms 24, verses 8 through 10. Or I'm sorry, 7 through 10. My apologies. I don't have my contacts in this morning, guys. Psalms 24, verses 7 through 10. Amen. Everybody ready? Scripture says, lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Amen. Amen. If you can bow your heads while you're standing. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Just to give you glory and honor, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Just to serve reverence unto your name, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God. You are worthy of our praise, God. You are worthy of everything we have, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Yes, God, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Not to ask for anything, God, but to serve unto you, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah. We come before you, God, to hear the word of God in the name of Jesus, God, to understand direction of how we should move next, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God. So speak to us right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God. We welcome your spirit right now in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah. Make this place a home for you, God, in the name of Jesus, God, where you can have your way, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Outside of the will of man, God, let your will be first, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Make it clear, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God. Make it clear right now in the name of Jesus, God. Touch whoever needs to be touched right now in the name of Jesus, God. Whatever was on their heart, God, touch it right now in the name of Jesus, God. Whatever was on their mind, God, touch it right now in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God, for we know you are a healer, God, and you are a deliverer. You are a miracle worker, God, in the name of Jesus, God. You are the King of salvation, God, in the name of Jesus, God. You are the great I am, God, in the name of Jesus, God. You are the beginning and the end, God, in the name of Jesus, God. You are the one who brings perfect peace, God, in the name of Jesus, God. In the name of Jesus, God. So give out your peace, God. In the name of Jesus, God. Give out your peace, God. In the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God. For we know who you are, God. And we know what you can do, God. In the name of Jesus, God. And you can do everything, God. In the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God. So we praise you right now, God. In the name of Jesus, God. We come before you right now in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. The master note of heaven, God, in the name of Jesus, God, because you are holy, 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 God, in the name of Jesus, God. You are perfect, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God. So we lift up our hands, God, in the name of Jesus, God, and we give you glory right now in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God. We give you glory right now in the name of Jesus, God. We give you honor right now in the name of Jesus, God. We bless your name, God, in the name of Jesus, God. We bless your Holy Spirit, God, in the name of Jesus, God, that has been sealed on the inside of us, God, in the name of Jesus, God. So we thank you right now, God, in the name of Jesus. And we ask that you bless this service, God, in the name of Jesus, God. May someone walking by hear us praising and say, who is it that they keep talking about, God? It is you, Lord, the King of Glory, God, in the name of Jesus, God. And may we plant that seed in their heart as they walk by, God, in the name of Jesus, God, so that your Holy Spirit can do the rest of the work, God, in the name of Jesus, God, and the devil can lose another one, God, and he can come back to you, God, in the name of Jesus, God. And we'll praise you for it right now in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, Lord, because the devil has lost again, God, in the name of Jesus, God. And you have given us victory, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Victory over every trial and tribulation, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God. You've given us victory throughout life, God, in the name of Jesus, God. And through you, we were given victory over death, God, in the name of Jesus, God. So we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. 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 Come on, we can give God praise there. Amen. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We're going to have our sermonic selection by Sister Alex. If you could please keep standing, that would be awesome.
Praise the Lord, Taylor. Amen.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, right and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Sanctuary. Sanctuary, Lord, for you. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, prepare us to do a sanctuary. Hallelujah. 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 My apologies. Hallelujah. So we're going to go through our communion now, and I'm going to call up our Deacon Todd to read our scripture. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Everybody hear me? Amen. 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 I'm going to read from our scripture in 1 Corinthians. Today I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. Amen. Amen. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself on the night where he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, and he gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourselves before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. But if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. Yet when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So, my dear brothers and sisters, when you gather for the Lord's Supper, wait for each other. If you are really hungry, eat at home, so you won't bring judgment upon yourselves when you meet together. I will give you instructions about the other matters after I arrive. Amen? Amen.
Good morning, church. I will read a communion confession statement. Just repeat after me. Most merciful God, we confess that we sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We had not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We truly sorry and we humbly repent for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Have mercy on us and forgive us that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your name, amen.
Now we'll have the prayer of our consecration by Reverend Ronald Radcliffe.
God our Father, who in wise providence has bountifully blessed us. At this time, this communion Sunday, we bow our heads, we commune. You said in your word, as often as we do this in remembrance of you. Lord, we ask you right now for forgiveness of our sins. Lord, have mercy. In the name of Jesus, as we take this bread, we break it. It represents your broken body. As we drink this juice, it represents your shed blood. In the name of Jesus, we pray this morning. We pray right now, Lord, for your covering, for just allowing us to be here, to be able to commune together as one. In the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, and God bless you. Let me ask this question. Have you guys been standing the whole time? Are you guys tired, or can you make it. Well, so I'll make it optional, right? Only because we got a lot of ground to cover in reading out of the Bible. So if you don't think you can stand for it, then feel free to have a seat, okay? But for those who can stand and are able, we're going to look at three different passages. We're going to look first at the 14th chapter of Judges, okay? We're continuing to look at the life of Samson, right? Because his life sheds a lot of light on the life of young men, okay? So Judges 14, so I'm going to ask you to turn there. Then after that, I'm going to ask you to turn to Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, okay? Verse 1, right? And then we're going to jump to the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 6:14. Okay? And that third one I just added this morning during prayer, so it may not be on the slides. But Judges 14, Deuteronomy 7, 2 Corinthians 6:14. Everybody good? Okay. And so we're going to read all of Judges, the entire chapter, and then we're going to move to these other passages. Okay. Now, Kay, crack this window for me. Just give me a little bit more. Okay. Okay. Starting with Judges 14. Now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and he told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughter of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me as a wife. And his father and mother said to him, is there no woman among the two daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you must go and get a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. But his father and mother did not know that it was of the Lord, that he was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. So Samson went down to Timnah, his father and his mother, and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now, to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would tear apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell this to his father or his mother, what he had done. 7, then he went down and he talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after some time, when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. Behold, a swarm of bees and honey were now in the carcass of the lion. And he took some of it in his hands and went along eating. And when he came to his father and mother, he gave some to them, and they also ate. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down to the woman. Samson gave a great feast there, for young men used to do so. And it happened when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And then Samson said to them, let me pose a riddle to you. If you can correctly solve and explain it to me within 7 days of the feast, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. But if you cannot explain it to me, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. And they said to him, pose your riddle that we may hear it. So he said to them, out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. Now for 3 days they could not explain the riddle. But it came to pass on the 7th day that they said to Samson's wife, entice your husband that he may explain the riddle to us, or else we will burn you and your fire and your father's house with fire. All of that over a joke. Have you invited us in order to take what is ours? Is that not so? Then Samson's wife wept on him and said, you only hate me. You do not love me. You have posed a riddle to the sons of my people, but you have not explained it to me. And he said to her, look, I have not explained it to my father or my mother. So should I explain it to you? Now she had wept on him the 7 days while their feast lasted. It happened on the 7th day that he told her, because she pressed him so much. Then she explained the riddle to the sons of her people. And so the men of the city said to him on the 7th day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion? So Samson replied and said to them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle. You don't understand what he's saying there. He knew how they figured it out. He knew how they figured it out because as we read, he didn't tell what? Anybody. There's no way they could know. Except on the 7th day, he relented and told his wife. So he said, the only way you could have found this out is that you pressured my wife. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. He went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of their men, took their apparel, and gave the changes of clothing to those who explained the riddle. So his anger was aroused, and he went back up to his father's house. And Samson's wife was given to his companion, who had been his best man. I thought there'd be a little bit more out of the audience after that, but maybe that's not so strange, right? Judges 14. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter. Beginning at verse 1. When the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess and has cast out many nations before you, including the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, 7 nations greater and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them.
nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son. Right? Here's the key verse. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. Let's add to the witness out of the New Testament. I invite you to turn there with me. 2 Corinthians. The 6th chapter, beginning at verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Right? Now, this one is not on the board, so I'm going to wait. It seems like folks are. I apologize. New Testament, 2 Corinthians, 6th chapter, verses 14. And I'm going to read down from there. Everybody in good shape? Everybody got it? Everybody good? I'll wait. This is important. This is the whole sermon right here. Everybody good? Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Right? That's a lot, right? How many know we got our work cut out for us this morning? Right? You up for it? Father, consecrate, imprint, plant your word in our heart. This is our prayer in Christ's name for his sake. Amen. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. The reason why I love the life of Samson, specifically, Jacob, you can come forward. Sean, you come forward. Any other men, come forward. This is important. You guys come forward. Again, the reason why I love the life of Samson, especially as it relates to young men, because Samson shows us what often happens to men. And that is, as men, we often lose our focus and lose our way because we become distracted by women. Okay? That's what happens to us. The history books, not just this history book, but the history books are filled with men who fail to reach their potential because they became distracted by a woman. Right? I told you on last Sunday, most young guys, old guys, You know, what we're concerned about is, number one, as guys, we like to eat, right? Guys get focused on eating. For the young guys, they like video games. That's where they like to put their downtime. Just about all the young guys are playing video. They like their hair long. If you realize, if you take a look, I've got a haircut. My son Jacob has a haircut. Jackson's not here. He got a haircut. And so if you remember last Sunday's sermon, you realize that what? I'm broke, right? Because what? In 2025, haircuts are what? Expensive, right? And not only am I broke, I'm sad. Because when I turned over all that money, I looked on the floor and there was what? No hair. I'm the only one that got hair off. Right? But that's just the way it is. But besides that, the next runner up is that as men and as young men, we get distracted by women. Right? It's not the woman's fault. It's our fault. We lose focus. Right? And Samson's life, the entirety of his life, is just a vivid display of what can happen, watch this, to a man of God, of which you are. Every last one of you, you're a man of God. You wouldn't be here if you weren't, right? Because all of you, you've been here. This ain't the first Sunday you come to church. You've been in church. You're under the word of God. You've accepted him in your heart. So you're a man of God, a young man of God. You're all men of God. But even in spite of that, you can, I can, we can easily become distracted by women. Bible's full of it. All you got to do is read it. Right? So here we go. Let's dig into this, right? Like I said, a lot of ground to cover. So let's get down to it. So you've got this story, Samson. We all know Samson. Told you on last Sunday, the two things that stand out about Samson is, one, we all know that Samson was what? Strong. If you ain't got to go to church to know that. Oh, yes, that's strong. It's just synonymous, right? Not only was he strong, but if you do go to church, you understand that his strength was connected to his hair, right? And so, now the third thing you should understand about Samson is strong, his hair. But he made bad choices when it came to women. And ultimately, it was his undoing. Mighty man of God, right? Mighty man of valor, right? Miraculous human strength. One of these things, as we get further in the month, I'll show this to you. The thing that made his strength so awesome is that Samson looked like an ordinary guy. A lot of people in images and artist renderings of Samson, they always make him look like the Hulk. He wasn't. Samson looked like you. He was just a regular guy. That's how you know that his strength came from what? From the Lord. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if he looked like if he looked like the Rock. Then, yeah, you should be strong. You got all those muscles and all. You should be able to do it. But Samson looked like an ordinary guy. But yet he was doing these great feats of strength. Okay? So here we go. Samson went down, Timnah. Now a woman in Timnah, the daughter of the Philistines. So he went and he told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman in Timnah, the daughter of the Philistines. Now get her for me as a wife. The Philistines, although they were not a part of the seven nations of Canaan that we read over in Deuteronomy, that Israel was specifically forbidden to marry. However, Samson's choice was seriously weak and sought only to please himself and not God. Right? Because verse 2, he says, I have seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me as a wife. Verse 3, he says, for she pleases me well. right? Samson starts out in trouble, right? Because he goes to the daughters of the Philistines, right? Who, if you understand, again, working from last week, we're just going to follow the at this time in the history of the Israelites, the Philistines are the enemies of Israel. And at this particular time, they rule over them. Right? Jackson and Ben, come on up. This is men's day. Come on up and get some of this. Right? And so this guy, he's an Israelite. You got what we read in Deuteronomy. This in their history, they've always been told, you got to marry within this group, right? You can't marry these other groups. And we read in verse 4, we said why, right? He said, because once you do that, they are going to pull you away from your God. Right? And so he said, hey, since they have the ability to influence you that way, he said, don't do it. Don't bother it. He didn't say you couldn't marry. Just marry among the Hebrew people. Don't marry your enemies. Right? But now, Samson, mighty man of God, and a lot of times, when you're a mighty man of God, you often, and I've been saying this all month, and I said it last Sunday. As a mighty man of God, oftentimes we think we're mightier than God. So even if God tells us not to do something, we believe because I'm going to church, I'm taking communion, I'm serving in the church, I can have a little leeway. Right? I'm not like those other jokers who ain't doing nothing. Don't go to church, don't know church, can't spell church. But the pastor told me that I am a mighty man of God. But I never said you were mightier than God. Men, that's where we lose it. We often think we're mightier than God. So Samson's got all of this history. Father, grandfather, great. All, look, it's enough sisters right here. You don't have to go outside of this. But in spite of that, he does. Right? So here, if you take your notes, put this in, this is a keeper. Matthew 6:33 says this. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Men, if we don't get anything else, get that. God is not saying you can't have it. God is saying, trust me to give it to you. Right? Did you get it? Got to understand it. Because if you don't, you'll rebel against God. You'll get mad. Don't get mad at God. God is not saying you can't have it. You can have it. But just trust me to give it to you. Right? Are you with me? If you got it, say I got it. Here it is. Now, so we got that. Verse 4. But his father and mother, they're trying to raise him right, teach him right. But like most young men, when boys reach that age, most people think it's just the mother who can't do nothing with them. The reality is when a young boy hits that age, his dad can't do nothing with him. And if you don't believe me, ask a real father. And this is, I'm going sideways. This is where a lot of fathers think. I didn't want to go on fathers, but this is where fathers go wrong with their sons when they become of age. Instead of loving them, we fight them. Because they remind us of ourselves. Where we went wrong. So out of a good heart, we try to force them The moment you do that, it's all over. You lost. It's a wrap. They're just going to go against you just because. But a real father knows how what? Step back and give them some room. That's what you want to do. I provided counsel. Told you what I thought about it. Here's a way that I would recommend you handle it. But if you ultimately want to go your way, you got to step back and let them go. Right? For the fathers here, I'll say this. If you're a father, if I don't say anything, if I never preach on Father's Day again, remember this. Don't fight your son. Because in so doing, you both lose. Don't ever fight your son. Right? Your job is to do the work in the first quarter of his life and lay the foundation there. Then when he's palatable, when he's able to be shaped and influenced by you more than the world. So as fathers, you got to do your work when? Early. Can't wait till he's 16, too late. Can't wait till he's 18, too late. Got his own mind then. Got his own strength then. And all y'all going to do is fuss and fight. All right? So good. Look at somebody and say, don't fight your son. All right. Father and mother, then I know it was of the Lord. And that the Lord was seeking an occasion to move against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Now, this is what I love about God. Now, did they put my sermon subject up there? Here it is. Y'all got it? Y'all see it? Fathers, choose the right wife, and sons, avoid the wrong girlfriends. Right? I wish I had 30 more men in church today. I really wish I did. You know how far down the road we could get with this? Choose the right wife and avoid the wrong girlfriend. Because either one can mess you up. You got Samson's life to prove it. You don't have to take my word for it. Well, Pat, no, they don't. Just read Samson's life. Are you with me on that? Although Samson made a poor choice, God is sovereign and was able to turn the situation to please him. Right? Remember what Samson said. Get her for me because she what pleases me. Ultimately, what God wants is for us to make choices that what? Please him. You follow what I'm saying? God used the opportunity to work against the wicked Philistines and provide gracious help to his people. God achieved the destruction of the Philistines, not with an army, but with the miraculous power of one man. And as we read through the life of Samson, Samson subdued the Philistine nation by himself. No army, no battle formation. It is amazing. I got it in my notes. You would be amazed what God can do with the life of one man. Look at all these men present here today. Imagine what God could do. Right? God took one and he subdued a military nation. He did it without an army, without chariots. He did it through the life of one man. Here we go, verse 5. He says, so Samson goes down to Timnah. He prevails over his mother and father in spite of all their good counsel. And he comes to the vineyards of Timnah. Now he's outside. You got to understand, Samson's he's an Israelite. He lives in Israel. Timnah is a Philistine country, right? So again, he breaks what he was taught, goes outside, sees her, he pleads her. Now he's going, now he's convinced his parents, no, this is who I want. So he's prevailed on his mom and dad and say, hey, let's go make this happen. In biblical custom, he's got to go present a dowry, all that good stuff. And so he says, he comes to the vineyards to Timnah, and he says, now to his surprise, a young lion came roaring at him. So obviously there is some distance between him and his parents. Maybe he's a young man. He's faster. He's probably further down his road. Parents are taking their time. They're all going to meet at Timnah, but there's distance between them. And as he's going down the road to Timnah, the Bible says a lion came and attacked him. And not only did he come to attack, but what the Bible says, it surprised him. It surprised him because that was unusual. Lions oftentimes attack other animals. Right? It's not their custom to attack humans. They often go after other animals, right? So that they can eat. Listen to this. Most times, especially as men, we bring adversity on ourselves, right? But sometimes God will send trouble, adversity, problems, situations to help us identify the gift that God has given to us. Are you getting this? Most times, as men, we bring adversity or trouble on ourselves. We knew what we were doing when we did it, but we did it anyway. So we bring the trouble on ourselves. But there are times when God will send trouble, right? Anybody know the story of Job? Right? God will send trouble to help you identify the gift that God has given you, right? What did I tell you last Sunday, right? Told you last Sunday, God started working in Samson's life before he was born. And in his mother's womb, God gave him a gift, right? Now, up until this time, if we just go according to the scripture, there's no record of Samson's strength. But what? Where is it? It's inside him. Right? He's got the gift. He's got the strength, but he doesn't know it. Are you with me? Might I suggest to you that God has a gift for you, buried somewhere down inside of you, and you don't know. Just look at Samson. That's all I'm saying. The gift is there. The anointing is there, but he didn't know it. And in order to help him identify it, because he had showed a propensity to turn away from the things of God and rely on his own wisdom, rely on his own thought, now God's sending trouble. To what? Refocus him. Right? God said, I got to show you what I put in you. Right? I didn't have your mother carry out all those vows during her pregnancy for nothing. Right? Are you with me? Let the women say it wasn't for nothing. That's why your pregnancy was what it was. Right? Why? It was through you that God was putting a gift in your sons. Right? That's why you had to bear it, carry it. Why? Because God was working. Now the challenge, now that you have successfully done your part, now is up to your son and his father to do theirs. Now the father was trying to do right by Samson to say, no, son, stay in this lane. Right? You're doing good. You're getting down the road. But now you're at that age that all boys come to when they find women attractive. It's coming. Now you're at that age, right? Right? And a lot of things and a lot of people are talking to you, right? If you have a father, listen to your father. If you don't have a father, read what I just read in 2 Corinthians. He says what? I will be your, listen to God. Right? Are you with me? If you got it, say I got it. Here it is. Now God is sending trouble. And he didn't send the lion to kill Samson. He sent the lion to show Samson what God had given. Right? Here it is, verse 6. So now to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat. Lord, I love this. This one phrase, I love it. Though he had nothing in his hand. If I wasn't going the way I was going, I'd preach that. Because that'll preach any Sunday, anywhere. He tore the lion apart, though he had nothing in his hand. Look at somebody and say, it's not in your hand. Again, let me help the brothers out. It's Men's Day. What God has given you is not in your hand. You guys understand what I'm saying? It's not in your hand. It's inside of you. That's where God gives gifts. God is not your mother or father who gives you gifts, birthday, Christmas, and they give you something tangible, and they let you unwrap it, and after you unwrap it, if your wife is like my wife, they want one. Everybody get together. I'm going to take a pic. Because I want the world to see what gift you have received. But the gifts of God are not tangible, meaning they're not viewable to the eye. When God gives gifts, right? This is what, here you go. Put the witness on it. The Bible says, they that worship the Lord must worship the Lord in what? In spirit and in truth. Well, where does the spirit dwell? Inside of you. When God gives gifts to men, he gives gifts inside of you. Right? Now, I'm so thankful for this mic. Right? Because it spares my voice in some regard. But here it is. I'm proving my point. Even if I didn't have the mic, I could still preach. Most times I probably preach better than I do with the mic, because in the mic I got to hold it and stop sweating in it and all that foolish. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not because I have a mic that I'm a preacher. I'm a preacher because God has anointed me to preach his word. I can preach it with a mic, I can preach this same message in an Adidas. It makes no sense. Why? The gift is where? Inside of me. All I got to do, Paul tells Timothy to do what? Stir up the gift. It's in there. Your job is to find out what it is and read the instructions and find out how to work it. All right? Look at somebody and say, work your gift. It's not the gift in your hand. Now look, why am I saying this? Because if you don't understand what I'm saying, that God's gift is inside of you. I say, Curb Rock, work your gift. And you'll say, this is what most men say. I don't have anything to work with. Why? Because nothing's in the hands. Hey, I need you to do this or that or the other. Okay, yeah, Pastor, I'll do it. But I need... Hey, I need to get this done. And okay, fine. But Pastor, I need some money. Society has taught us you need something in your hand in order to get what? Anything done. I'm trying to tell you, as your spiritual father, did you read the text? He killed a lion with his bit, and the Bible said he had nothing. David killed Goliath, but he had a slingshot. Joshua brought Israelites into the promised land, but he had an army of what? Soldiers. They had knives, spears. They went up to Joshua and they used victuals, lamps. But at least they had something. They marched around the wall and they broke those lamps and they got the victory. What I'm trying to get you to understand as men, what God has given you is inside you. And you don't need anyone else to give you anything else to do what God has created you to do. Anybody getting anything out of what I'm saying? Okay. Look at your neighbor, tell them it's not in your hand. It's inside of you. That's where God is. It's inside of you. Look, put your hand on your head. Say, it's inside of me. Come on, say, Lord, it's inside of me. Lord, help stir up the gift inside of me. Don't give me another man's gift. Don't give me another woman's gift. But Lord, stir my gift. Show me what I can do. Show me what I'm capable of. Show me what you... Oh my God. Here it is, verse 7. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. In my notes, I put down here, biblical dating versus modern dating. Right? If I can say anything to the fellas, it's modern. I know everybody's DMs, sliding into DMs and all this other stuff. But fellas, you still must talk to her. I wish I had a real church. Why my church leave? It's not even 11 o'clock and y'all leaving already. Today, in today's age, you still must talk to her. Are you with me? If you got it, say I got it. Done. I'm leaving it alone. Got to talk to her. All right, here it is. And after some time, when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. On that note, here it is. Oh, thank you. Hold it up. I gave Ty the paper. And what the paper says, what does the Bible say about dating? Right? That handout, first and foremost, is for my guys. After that, the women can have whatever's left, plenty of copies, and I'll get it and put it in the newsletter. I don't have time to go down that in this sermon. But many of you have been asking me, right? And so, again, I always tell you, I don't try to be a great pastor. I'm trying to be what? I'm trying to be a helpful pastor. You've asked, and I've put something together that is loaded with scripture. Now you can go to the Word of God and see what God says about dating. Everybody good? See Tyrone after service. Okay? You can get that handout. And after some time, he returned together and turned aside to see the carcass. Behold, a swarm of bees was now in the carcass of the lion. He took some of it, went along eating, gave some to his father and mother. I'm skipping along, verse 10. And so his father went down to the woman. And Samson gave a feast there for young men used to do so. Man, I'm helping you guys out. Fellas, not only do you got to talk to her, you got to do what? Take her out to eat. Right? Most guys think it's just guys who like, the sisters like to eat. But more than liking to eat, what do they enjoy more? Not having, y'all just decide when y'all want to show up. Oh, yeah, Pastor, we back. Keep preaching, Pastor. We back now. Right? Yeah, so even when you get married, you still got to take her out to eat. If for no other reason, just to give her a reprieve from cooking. Right? Folks, you always need to tell her, the things you did together are the same things you got to do to what? To keep her. Right? Come on, fella. Look at somebody and say, take them out to eat. Here it is, verse 11. I'm getting there. And it happened when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. Now get this, you got to understand it, or you'll go sideways. He goes to marry a woman in Timnah. He doesn't live in Timnah, right? Comes back with his father and mother. Dowry's been paid, and that is the custom. They have a wedding feast for 7 days, right? He's from Israel, the territories of Israel. His girlfriend is where? In Timnah. The wedding is where? In Timnah. So when she shows up to the wedding, what does she have with her? She's got a whole lot of girlfriends. Why? Because they all live around the corner. But when he shows up to the wedding, it's just him and what? His parents. Why? Because all of his family is back where? Back in Israel. So he's at a wedding that he shouldn't be having in the first place. But now he's there with no friends, no groomsmen, no one to help him celebrate. So the men of that town said, you know what? We'll be his friends. That's what's happening. Do you see it? Are y'all following that in the story? I want you to get it because it's important. It happened when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. He didn't have no friends, so they became his what? Friends. Right? Watch out who tries to befriend you. You know, right? Are you with me? And so there he poses a riddle, right? And you guys got it. Can you solve this riddle? What out of the eater? Eat, and out of the strong, something sweet. And said, I'm now in verse 15 because I got to get down the road. I'm so far behind. It says, now it came to pass on the seventh day, his friends, his 30 companions, are you with me? On the seventh day, they said to Samson's wife, listen to the wording God's using, entice your husband. Entice, entrap, ensnare. Listen to me. They just got married. Now, I will say this in her defense. I don't think that his wife was bad. But like Samson, his wife was weak. Wait a minute, I think she said Samson was strong physically. But Samson was weak spiritually and morally. And as a result, he was what? Easily what? Persuaded. Get him to do anything. All right? Now, you read this text. They come to her and said, look, we all our guys, we're your guys' groom's party. My man's his best man. But now he's posed this riddle and we don't know the answer. So we need you to get the answer for us, right? So now they're what? Cheating, right? I don't care how long you've been in school or where you go to school. At some point while you're in school, you're going to be enticed to what? Come on, fellas. We got to deal with this stuff because most preachers won't preach about it. That's why you're here. Resist the temptation to cheat. You're not getting anywhere faster or farther. Oftentimes, it will catch up with you and bite you in the butt, what? At the worst time. Just do the work necessary up front. And then what? Do the best you can. So now they get his wife. And they get his wife because what? She's close to him. Has access to him. They said, entice your husband that he may explain the riddle to us. Listen to this. or else we will burn you and your father's house with fire. I don't blame his wife. Now they've gone to threatening not just her life, but the life of her entire family. All because of this stranger in their midst. Are you with me? And now she uses her position of influence, right? This is why you need the right wife. This is why you need to avoid bad girlfriends. Because if you pick or join yourself to the wrong one, as we read in Numbers, they can influence you because they're close to you. Why you got to be careful who you let close to you. Not just of your lady friends, but also of what? Your male friends. We done read the story. How does the story end? You guys catch what I read at the end, how the story ends? They take his wife and give her to his best man. Now, the reality is not really his best man, but it's someone who stood in as his best man. And what? He was happy to do it. I'm gladly doing it. Right? Raise your hand if you can tell a story about a best friend. Right? And if you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. It wasn't a friend or some other friend. It was your best friend that did you in. This is just real talk. If y'all don't want it, just go to Sunday school and get that. But this is big boy talk. Big boy preaching. Because you're men now. You're dealing with real life issues. And I'm just trying to spare you, right? Right? I can't stop the attack, but I can better prepare you for the attack when it comes. That's what a father does. Are you with me? So look at your neighbor and say, get ready. Manhood's coming. Whether you want it or not, it's coming. Whether it's delayed or not, manhood is coming. And these are the issues as men that we deal with. In this particular day, we're really just looking at it from the perspective of the women we bring into our lives. And at the end of the day, you got to allow God to choose. That's where I'm trying to get to in this whole thing. And you got the story, and I'm out of time, and Lord Jesus, I wish I could do more, but I can't. You read it. Here it is. They get the riddle. She prevails. Samson relents. Because of the what? The pressure. And I'm going to say this, and I don't want the women to get offended. This is how men, this is how we think of it. She nagged him to death. She just wouldn't relent. Every day she's just going there and crying on him. Why won't you tell me? Why can't I know? She had no reason to know just to be known. He could have just said, wait till the seventh day. I'll tell them, you'll know, my mom and dad will know. But no, she kept going, right? So let me help the fellas, let me help you out. So sisters, here we are, wives. Don't nag your husband. And I mean that in the nicest way, right? Next Sunday, this will be my church right here. These two rows and that row. They'll be like, Pastor, what happened to the rest? You had a whole church. Your whole church is now the deacon board. Right? Don't nag your husband. So she and then she prevails on him. And so she tells her. She betrays his trust and now goes tell the men. And now they answer the riddle. And I told you simply before, he knew that they must have influenced his wife because he hadn't told what? Anyone else. He hadn't revealed it. He was coming to the feast that night to tell them. But they came with the answer, and he knew the only way you could have gotten this answer is if you prevailed against my wife. I don't know what you said. I don't know what you did. She's the only other person I've told. And so now they have the answer. Here it is, verse. And so the men of the city, and they answer. Here it is, verse 19, and I'm done with it. It says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. And he went into another Philistine territory called Eshkelon, and he killed 30 of their men, took their apparel, and took their garments, and he gave it to them that explained the riddle. And so his anger was aroused, and he went back up to his father's house. God used his poor choice and his bad decision making to still move him back into the will of God. Because if you remember what I said last Sunday, when the angel of the Lord comes to his father, his mother and father, they say what? He shall begin to destroy the Philistine army. That's the last Sunday I was in there, right? And so now, God, true to his plan and purpose for Samson, even though Samson has made a bad choice, made a bad decision, has ignored the advice and counsel of his parents. Courtland came to me and said, hey, Pastor, we want to get married, would you? And Courtland's my witness. The very first thing I said, Courtland, I said, have you talked to your mom and dad? And he had to satisfy. He said, yep, I talked to them. I told my mom, told my dad. I said, okay. Still didn't answer him. He said, well, have you talked to her parents? All right? What has her parents said about your intentions? Right? This is how you got to do it, guys. Right? It can't just be between you and her. Right? He went. Parents said, yeah, no, they're all on board. They're excited. Good, good. They even threw Brandon in the mix. I don't know where Brandon go. Brandon ain't doing nothing. Brandon out in L.A. trying to get on L.A. law or something. You know what I mean? But he got in. He zoomed in. He FaceTimed. Right. It was only after all of that I consented to marry them. The Bible said there is safety in a multitude of counselors. I tell that to us as men because oftentimes as men, we want to go it alone. Especially when our friends and families don't agree with our wisdom. Do I have a witness? I got enough old men. This is what we do, right? But that's the trick of the enemy. The real safety is in the advice you get from good counsel. Not your 30 friends who just decided to come to the wedding party. All those jokers want to do is drink up your liquor. They're not your real friends. They just coming because you said open bar. They said, yes, I'll be there. You follow what I'm saying? And look, they church folk and going, whatever. Get out of it. You follow what I'm saying? You got to make better decisions. And so I was going to preach it out there. And I got my scripture. I was going to preach it out. But here it is. Now I get it. Took me till this moment, Barb, for the Holy Spirit to show me where he was going. Now I know who I'm preaching to. I'm preaching to guys who have made poor choices. I got it. One of the abilities you must have as a preacher is you have to talk and listen at the same time. So while I talk to you, I've got to keep my ears open to what he is saying. That's what he said. While all that preaching, I got it lined up. I was going to preach you out of here. But he said, nope, wrong audience. Your real audience is men and women who have made poor choices. And by poor choices, in the context of this message, I'm talking about relationship choices. Not talking about poor choices with your money, your job, where you live at. You could have made poor choices but that's not what I'm preaching about. I'm talking about making bad decisions with people you allow to be close to you. For us as guys, it's often our girlfriends. It's our wives. And our second wives. Right? We made poor choices. And it seems like we continue to make poor choices. Now, I want you to notice what God does. In spite of Samson's poor choice, God delivers on his promise to Samson and gives him supernatural strength. God could have said, you know what, in spite of all of this and in spite of all of that, Samson, I'm taking my gift back. It doesn't matter that your mother kept the Nazarite vow. Doesn't matter that she did it. It doesn't matter. You went outside of the line. You disobeyed me. You did all of the. You made a bad choice. And look what it's cost you. Cost you your wife. As the story ends, not only did it cost him his wife, but it ultimately cost you your wife's life and her family's. But God says, in spite of it, I am going to remain faithful to you. And what I promise to do through you, I am still going to do it. Y'all need to shout better than that. Right? Because you got to realize this is your story. Right? If you're willing to admit it, how many are willing to admit I made some bad choices? I messed around with some bad brothers. I messed around with some of the wrong sisters. In spite of what my father said, in spite of what my uncle said, in spite of what my mother and my aunt said, I made some bad choices. But in spite of it, God makes good on his promise. Can I get a witness? The first one should have been enough. The second one should have turned the light on. But in spite of it, bad choice, bad girlfriend, bad wife, bad husband, God remained faithful unto me. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Look at somebody and say, God is in you. Whom you have from God. He said, you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. And God doesn't do returns. I wish I had a better church. Look at somebody, tell them God won't take it back. God won't take it back. If God saved you and filled you with the Holy Ghost, he won't take it back. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Had he not spoken? Yes, yes, God is faithful. God is faithful. Somebody give the Lord a praise. So if you have made a bad choice, God told me to tell you, he made a better choice when he decided to send his son, Jesus Christ, to die on Calvary's cross to cover all of your sins, all of your choices, all of your mistakes. Somebody shout, yes! Woo! Yes! Yes!
Where are all the people who made bad choices? Stand up and give the Lord a praise. Yes. Yes. Abusive husband. Bad boyfriend. Kinky girlfriend. But in spite of it all, God, God, God made a way for me. Somebody shout yes. 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 My first girlfriend almost killed me. My first wife took all my money. But in spite of it all, God remained faithful to the gift that he gave to me. Somebody give the Lord a praise. Woo! Yes. He didn't kill me. My girlfriend didn't destroy me. God made a way. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. I dare you to pray. If you got a good husband, if you got a good wife, I dare you to praise God. Woo! If you got a good girlfriend, if you got a good boyfriend, I dare you. Yes, that's a sign. That's a sign of God's faithfulness. I got to get out of here. Yes. 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 Woo. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Look at somebody. Tell them, I got a good man now. Come on, tell them, I got a good man now. I got a good woman now. Yes. Yes. In spite of my choices, in spite of my poor decision, God, God has been faithful unto me. That's why I praise it. Yeah, 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 I got a good one now. And his name, I got a good one now. And his name is Jesus. Woo! You can and you shall survive. Samson did not die. That's my message to you.
spite of your choices, in spite of your and my disobedience, in spite of what you suffered, in spite of what you went through, that's my message. Samson did not die, and neither shall you. That's what you came to church. That's it right there. You hung in till the end. That's God's message for you. And he gave it to me mid-sermon. There's no way you can look at Samson's life and not say what all of your friends said about you. It was your own fault. And they're not lying. But men, women, in spite of our poor choices, in spite of our bad choices, God made a better choice. God made a better decision because of Christ Jesus. God remains faithful to you. What do I mean by Samson didn't die? What do I mean by you will not die? One of the things you'll read, this handout, Biblical Dating, one of the things we fail to do as Christians when it comes to dating, we'll talk to everybody else. But no. The only one really capable of telling us, is this the person, watch this, that you have for me? Or, are you a son or daughter of Samson? Samson said, get her for me because she pleases me. Never once did Samson ask, does my choice please God? My inbox, my text messages, emails flooded. People asking me questions about dating. Flooded. That's where that came from. I didn't do that for this sermon. I did that weeks ago. Why? Because people were coming to me asking what how Pastor this said. For some of you, it'll be helpful because it'll keep you from making the wrong choice. But only if you talk to God. Your buddies at school can't do it. Take it from those with experience. Do you know what makes betrayal betrayal? Anybody know that? What makes betrayal betrayal? What makes betrayal so bad? The person who betrays you is what? It's not her. It's not him. He way back. He don't even know who I am. He don't even know what a pastor is. But this guy, listen what Jesus said. It is he who what? Dips with me. He's got to be close enough that him and Jesus can reach the same cup. That's not a guy at the end of the table. That's not one of your girlfriends over in Cali. They can't do nothing to you. But what makes betrayal betrayal is that they're close to you. What makes Judas Judas? She was at the table with Jesus. the friends that betray you, you find out they were never really friends. Their betrayal tells the truth on their life to you. But you got to hear what I'm saying, church. In spite of their unfaithfulness to you, in spite of your unfaithfulness to God, this is what he told me to tell you. I will remain faithful to you. And I'm going to take your bad choice. And I'm going to rearrange the circumstances of your life. And what the devil meant for evil, God said, I'm going to make it good. It's going to cost you. You're going to go through some stuff. It's going to be painful. But he said, I'm going to bring you out on the other side. I pause because I hear him speaking. And God said, it's going to be better. I wish I had a real church, Cassie. You can just go through what you got to go through. Own up to the fact that you made a selfish choice. A selfish decision. A fleshly decision. That's what we got to guard against, young men. Fleshly decisions. But instead, make a spiritual decision. And God says, if you do it, I'm going to wipe away all of the hurt. I'm going to wipe away all of the pain and the scars. What I have for you is going to be better than what you've already had. Communion is for the believer. If you're here this Sunday and you have accepted Christ Jesus, your Lord and your personal Savior, you're now a son of God. Your life now belongs to the Lord Most High. I invite you, even as Christ invited his disciples, to come and eat. But only if Christ is in you. This is where the rubber has to meet the road. You haven't accepted him? Don't take communion. It'll do you more harm than good. But if you've made the choice, if as a young man you've given your life to Christ, if as an older man you look back over your life and says the better choice is Christ, I invite you, even as Christ invited his disciples. The witness tells us that he took bread. At first he blessed it. Then he broke it. Gave to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body given for you. And I say the same to all of you. It says on that Passover feast that he took the cup of thanksgiving. When he had given thanks, he also blessed it, but told his disciples, this cup represents the new agreement between you and God. I want you to hear that
in context of today's message. You and God now have a new agreement. Everything you've done under the old agreement is washed it away. One song says he threw it into the sea of forgetfulness. I got a new agreement with God. And under this new agreement, God has promised to bless you. All you got to do is be faithful. Church, trust God with your relationships. I don't know the answer. Your mother and father, they don't know the answer. But God does. And all he says is, come in, let's make a new agreement. Me and you. God said, I'm going to bless you just as soon as you trust me. Shall we all drink together? Bring me that oil. You may be seated. If you're here this Sunday, and you would like prayer for healing in your body, I'm going to invite you to come. Sick, not well. But I also want to invite you to come. If you are carrying baggage, hurt, pain from previous relationships, God says, you come. Boyfriend, girlfriend, mom, dad, sibling rivalry. If you're carrying hurt and you're carrying pain, I just told you, he says what? New agreement. That's what he said. Not old agreement. If you stay under the old agreement, you stay with the old pain. You stay with the old issues. But God said, pray the prayer. He said, pray not only for healing of their bodies. So I want you to pray for healing in their bodies. And hear me well, especially women. You carry the pain in your body. That's why the doctor can't tell you what's wrong. He's trying to look for a physical symptom or a physical problem. Never understood. It's a spiritual thing. The damage done to me. The hurt brought on me. And I need a real doctor. When we went over the open door, I preached a sermon, Jehovah Rapha, what the Lord that what healeth thee. Oh my God, I gotta keep listening. Gotta keep listening. Barb, I thought it was for them. God said, no, for your church. You just preached it too early. But these are the people that need it. They're hurting. Whoever you are, wherever you are, God said, today we sign a new agreement. And that if you would just come to him. Lift your hands to him. And allow the healing ointment of God from the crown of your head down to the sole of your feet. The anointing is already flowing. God said, I'm going to cover your body. I'm going to anoint you from the head down to the bottom of your feet. God said, I'm going to heal you. When you pray this week, just call him Jehovah Rapha. Call him by his name. Call him by what you want him to do in your life. So many things God wants to do in your life. The Lord be with you. Your body is already healed. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Mighty man of valor. The problem with being young is you're on the top of the devil's hit list. But the Lord is with you. Hear what I'm saying? The Lord is with you. He abides in your heart. You got to understand, I know too much about your story, man. I know where you've been, what you've been through. The Lord is with you. That's right. You just got to confess the Lord. The Lord. The Lord is with me. Every choice, every decision, every move I make, the Lord is with you. So Heavenly Father, anoint him. From the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. Cause him to become a mighty man of valor. And do great exploits in your kingdom. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Lord is with you. Bryce, I can't pray for you any more than what I've already done. Every time I open the altar, you come. Every time I ask for prayer, you're always the first in line. And it's a sign that the Spirit of the Lord God is inside of you. Something keeps calling you, drawing you. At church early, stay at church late, always willing to help. God told me to tell you it's in you, Bryce. It's not in your hand. Not in the hands of your friends or your family. God said it's in you, Bryce. In the secret place. That's where God dwells. That's where God works. It's in you, Bryson. To be a mighty man of God. God says today we make a new agreement, Bryson. All the old stuff, it's over. The old pain, the old hurt. God said today we begin anew. He says today, Bryson, you're my son. Today I'm your father. Remember that when you pray. That God is your father. There's nothing the world can do against you, Bryson. Live for him. Die for him. Make choices according to him. Great things. Great things. The hand of the Lord God is upon you now. Yeah, there it is. There it is. That's Zion. That's Zion. Hallelujah. Zion travailing in the hearts and in the spirit of men. What no one else can see. No one else understands. It said, but when Zion travails. That's what that is. That's deep talking to deep. That's God moving inside of you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Woman of God, he's your father. Son, Holy Ghost.
God said, I'll be your husband. There it is.
That's it. That's it.
All the wrong places. Spirit of the Lord God. He's always wanted you for himself. Some of us have to live like that. Not all of us are called to be married. Not always called to be wife. Not always called to be husbands. Sometimes God wants us married to himself. He's better than 1,000 husbands. And he loves you more than they all could. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh. Fall fresh. Today, 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 today. Zion travails in your life. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, I thank you. Lord God, I thank you. Come on, Kim. Come on, somebody. There it is. You belong to God. I feel it so strong. I feel it so strong. Stop running from him. You belong to him. Shaped. I feel the anointing of God. I feel him inside of you. Trust him. He'll do it. He's doing it now. Just let God do it. Let him do it, daughter. Daughter of Sarah. Let God do it. Cast your cares on him. For he careth for you. Get rid of it. Just get rid of it. Get it out of your life. Get it out of your spirit. Get it out of your mind. Say, Lord, get it out of me. No. It's ruining me. Get it out of me. I need fresh water. I need fresh water. So I'll be a well of living water down inside of you. That's what he's got for you, fresh water. Fresh water. That's what God has for you. Trust him. Trust him. God's going to bless you. Mighty woman of God. Ah, my soul love him. Yeah, my soul love him. Fresh water. Yeah.
That's what I need. That's what I want. Fresh water. Mighty man of God. One born in due season, yet not out of time. The pull of God is so strong on your life, Aiden. It's undeniable. All I can do is tell you to trust Him. All I can tell you is to go to God with your questions. Go to God with your problems, your difficulties. God told me He's going to speak to you directly. Because He's called you for His own glory. In spite of what has happened, in spite of what has not happened, God said, you're a mighty man of God. And He's calling you now as a young man, teenage years. God said, we're going to walk together. You and I, throughout the remainder of your life, God said, I'm going to walk with you. He said, I'm going to talk with you. And I am going to be a father unto you. A father unlike any other. No human comparison. He said, when you pray, say, Abba, Father. Aiden, He's your father. He's your God and He's your Savior. All you got to do is trust Him. Mighty man of God. That's all you got to do. It sounds simple. And you know what, Aiden, it is. You trust Him. And I'm going to tell you, God's going to do wonders in your life. You hear what I'm saying? Mighty man of God. Mighty man of God. You have that oil? Thank you. In the name of the Father. It's fine, it's fine, it's fine. Son. Holy Ghost. Mighty woman of God. What an unending fountain of God's love. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. God said He's going to make good on His promise. All that you've asked, all that you've inquired of God, God said, this is the season. Yeah, thank God. Thank God. You waited. You hung in there. Today your Father blesses you. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Healing in your body. Healing in your spirit. Healing in your mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The blood shall prevail in your life, Sister Tina. The blood of Jesus shall prevail in your life. Trust Him. Trust Him. He's your Father. His heart is for you. You hear me? Trust Him. The promises of God are coming to pass in your life. Mighty woman of God. Name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost. That's God moving. What you sense, what you feel, that's God. He says a broken spirit
contrite heart, he would never forsake. Every time you break in front of him, you break for him in his presence, in his private time, God said, I'm going to draw you closer. God said, I'm going to pay it back. Mm-hmm. There it is. There it is. That's you feel it, I feel it. That's the hand of God. That's the promises of God. They're first revealed in our spirit first before they ever come to pass. Spend time with God. Lord, help me. Help her, Lord. Help her, Holy Ghost. Help her, Holy Ghost. Help her, Holy Ghost. Lift your hands. Lift your hands unto God. Receive. Receive what he has for you. Receive what God has for you. I'm going to put the broken pieces back together again. God told me to tell you, you're going to be better the next time around. He's rebuilding you. He's reshaping you. And the hand of the Lord is on your life. Mighty woman of God. Let him do it. Let him have his way. He's redoing it in your life. Reshaping you. Putting back the broken pieces. That's what God does. Father, in the name of Jesus, your name is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you heal Norman Lyons Jr. That we might give you the glory for what only you can do. So we lift him up. We bring him to the courtroom of heaven. Even as the men lowered the paralytic man into your presence, we bring our brother and our friend, not to a hospital, not to an emergency room, but into the throne room of God. And just your presence, just your aroma, is able to raise him up again. So we call you Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth. And God, while you heal Norm, Lord, have mercy. Why not heal his companion? Hallelujah, that the two might be one, whole, happy, healthy, well in Christ Jesus. God, you can do it. Hallelujah, two for one, God. Hallelujah. No longer twain, but one flesh. Jehovah Rock. Double portion. God said, I'm going to heal him and you. Hallelujah. Just because I'm God. Hallelujah. Besides me, there's no other. When you pray, call him Jehovah Rapha. He's healing you. He's healing your companion. God's healing your family. God's going to reward your faithfulness. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yes, hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Yes. Mighty man of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Lord, from the crown of his head down to the sole of his feet, show up strong in his life. Do great things. Do great wonders. Hallelujah to God. Stir the gift of God that is inside of him. Father, I pray, God, trouble him. Hallelujah. On every side. Shake him. Hallelujah. Rustle him about. Hallelujah. Let him fight all night long with you. Prove yourself. Show yourself strong in his life. Call him to the center of your will for him. In Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, thank God. Yeah, my soul loving. Woo! My soul loving.
Hallelujah. Woo!
Yeah, when Zion travails. Oh my God. Oh my goodness.
Amen. Good word. Amen. Amen. Meditate on that. Amen. Amen. We're going to transition in a second, but just meditate on that for a moment. Amen. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Father, pray for him. In the name of Jesus. 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 Jesus, 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 Jesus. Strengthen him right now, O Lord. Strengthen our pastor right now. In the name of Jesus. Lord, that you would anoint him every week to deliver your word. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. He needs strength too. Amen. Amen. We all need the Lord. Amen. And when the Spirit is moving, be willing in your own hearts and minds. For we get so caught up in what? Our own strength and our own power. But if you ever just step out of the way, say, Lord, whatever's been afflicting me, whatever's been weighing me down, whatever sickness I've been worried about, whatever's going on with my kids, whatever's going on with my job, whatever's going on at school, whatever's going on with my spouse, if you take all that, just leave it right here. The Word of God said what? Set at liberty. He's freeing you from the captivity. So when the Spirit is moving, get in those troubled waters. Amen? Because all that you've been carrying, all that has been weighing you down, he says, I am right here, and you can leave it right here with me. And that's why when we talk about leaving service, what? Transformed and renewed in our minds. Because he frees us of all that stress. That stuff that's keeping you up at night. He anoints our pastor to deliver the word. So meditate on this word. Amen? Amen. That's why we come here. To hear the word of truth. Amen? Amen. So that we would all be free of all this stuff that's going to get dumped on us the minute we what? Walk out those doors. But we're not going to worry about it because we're trusting in the Lord. Amen? Amen. All right, now I will resume with service. Amen? Now that our leader has been prayed for, he needs to be ministered unto as well. Amen? Man, with that, I'm going to bring up Brother Robert. He's going to give us our offering. I'm going to see if he's going to do the drum roll, but I'm not going to do the drum roll today. Here we go.
Good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of the five ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, Venmo, Zelle, or also by U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. Mail, please send a check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. Venmo at Taylor-Tabernacle-6309 and Zelle at 215-287-6968. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ram door, one for your tithes/offerings and one for the preacher. Please place your seal envelopes in the baskets. As you exit the sanctuary, you may also give an offering to our pastor via Cash App or Venmo. Cash App, $Pastor Jonathan Ford, and Venmo at Jonathan-Ford-25. As always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry. I'm also doing the announcements. I know she added something, that's why.
Yeah. Just keep scrolling.
Okay. The pastor and our leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us in worship from your home. Remember to hit subscribe right there on the YouTube page or follow us at Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you are informed up to date with all our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we will add you to the list. Thank you. On the 16th of November, join Pastor and First Lady for an afternoon of service at the Tabernacle. Pastor is asking everyone to dress down and join him in the garden for the final harvest and garden cleanup. In addition, we will be giving away free turkeys for Thanksgiving for families in need. First Lady will be hosting a family literacy in the Tide Center with plenty of books and games for kids and adults. Please invite your family and friends to this special day of activity and fun for everyone. Choir practice for all ages, second through fifth service. After service, please see Sister Alex for questions. Pastor Ford is also asking all members, family, and friends to join him online via Google Meets every Wednesday evening. Sunday school from 8:30 to 9 a.m. via Google Meets for juniors and teen classes. We look forward to seeing your child on the second through Sundays. Sunday school from 10:45 to 11:15 in person for a primary class will meet on second through fifth Sundays. Pastor's Wiley Challenge, Andrew Tree 2025. There are 53 days until Christmas. Now is the perfect time to begin planning to participate in this year's Prison Fellowship Andrew Tree Christmas. Please consider purchasing a gift for a child between the ages of 0 to 18 years or volunteering with the Angel Tree Committee or donating gift wraps and bags. Additional details will be provided in October.
Amen.
We just ask everyone, please stand. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this service. We thank you for the shepherd of this house, Lord God, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for the spirit that moved in this place this morning, Lord God, Jesus. As we leave and we part ways to travel home, Lord God, we ask you to continue to just bless us and our families and give us safe traveling mercies and strengthen us throughout the week. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Amen. Dismiss.